Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Friday edition of the Damage Report. And I'm just going to warn you right out the gate. I don't know what's going to happen on the show today. Brett, what do you think? How you feeling, Brett?
The first thing that popped into mind when you said your name is I wanted to call you John Fancy Pants Iderola. There's no reason for that. I just like fancy
pants. Fancy t-shirt with my fancy purple dragon on it.
It's gorgeous tee. I'm sitting. I have this suit, this like butt pad that's supposed to keep your ergonomics all in order. But I've been sitting on it wrong by like 2 inches for so long that it's no longer doing. It's just weird.
Okay. Well, speaking of shirts, I'm not going to spoil the surprise, but I am very excited for an upcoming shirt that I had to fill out a form.
Oh, yeah.
I'm not going to say what it is, but I'm very excited.
There's a lot of really exciting announcements coming from the Young Turks over the next few days, one of which is new merch for a certain show that you have all grown to love very quickly.
You're now being much more specific than I was, but yes.
I want to be specific about congrats for this show. 700,000 subscribers and counting. And one of the most delightful graphics to celebrate that fact that this producer has ever seen.
It was pretty good. I think it's on our Instagram right now. Instagram.com/TheDamageReport. 700,000. That's all we ever wanted. And I think that's good. I don't think no one else should subscribe at this point. Or like maybe one in, one out. We could start up that sort of policy. But anyway,
We need to get to the million point just because I want to see if they still send out those plaques from YouTube.
Yeah, it kind of feels like I know it's a totally different thing, totally different audience, different decade. I don't know. But I feel like we got Think Tank to like 1.3 million or 1.4 million. Just give us that. Like, just give us that. We already did it. Come on. We have to do it again about a different thing. But anyway, thank you for being here. Are there other announcements about Twitch related content that you'd like to give people a preview of?
We're going to do some game busting tonight. I don't know. I'm on a lot of shows today. So are you. I'm presenting second hour. Tonight is Game Busters at 5:30 PM Pacific, 8:30 PM Eastern at twitch.tv/TYT. Join Jordan Ewell, a really chill guy. And there's a giveaway.
And the audience?
Yeah, so we're going to be playing some Jackbox games with you. Last Friday, we played some Fortnite and it was really, really fun. We got sabotaged by our top sub gifters who made us drop everything and build the biggest house we could and just dance for a while.
Wait, I haven't seen this. You have to build the biggest house sabotage before. That's fun.
It felt a lot like Rust. It was really fun. There was a lot of people who gave some really good, huge gift subs, and we're very appreciative of all of you who did that. And so we did that. And then today we're going to play some Game Busters. And there are three, I think they're $50 Shop TYT gift certificates that we're giving away today to people who win the competition. So we're going to play some games. You, instead of giving us stuff for us to perform for you, if you perform well, we give you stuff. So there's three $50, I want to say, Shop TYT giveaways. And there's some cool merch that's on there right now. So tune in at twitch.tv/TYT at 5:30 PM Pacific, 8:30 PM Eastern tonight. And then on main show, we got Rashad Ritchie's got Dan from the internet today.
He does. That's going to be fun. You better watch out. Sometimes Dan shows up to shows with a gun. But anyway,
it has been really, really weird. So we got that. And then on then we got Ben Carollo's got some Galaxy Brain after that.
Nice.
Followed by the Young Turks with Ida Rodriguez making her return after taking time off to work on her special. So that's the Friday Power Panel. And then Caroline Johnson, who is a Rebel HQ contributor. And activist is going to be on the show to talk about the activist show that we're going to be talking about later in the show today. And then we got Game Busters after that because busting makes me feel good.
That's what I'm seeing up in the chat and it makes me uncomfortable. That's good. Really fast. I don't know that I've done Jackbox games with Jordan. Is he a contender?
He's a contender. He's experienced. He's got some suggestions for games that I hadn't seen yet. And so.
Oh, interesting. Really okay. Okay, well, I think that I have tested the patience of Sophie as much as I can. I guess we do have to talk about some news at some point. So if you could hit the like button, share the stream, that would be great. And with that, we're gonna talk about some news. So let's do it.
My message to unvaccinated Americans is this. What more is there to wait for? What more do you need to see? We've made vaccinations free, safe, and convenient. The vaccine has FDA approval. Over 200 million Americans have gotten at least one shot. We've been patient, but our patience is wearing thin, and your refusal has cost all of us. So please do the right thing.
So his patience is wearing thin, and look, admittedly, I think Biden has about as much patience as anyone. But what he's saying there is it is free, it's accessible, it's FDA approved. I remember when we thought, I wonder if that's going to make a difference. Doesn't really seem like it did, at least rhetorically. But now, in addition to the rhetoric, they also we have some changes coming. So let's see, the Department of Labor's Occupational Safety and Health Administration is developing a rule requiring all employers with at least 100 employees to make sure their workforce is fully vaccinated, or require unvaccinated workers to get a negative test at least once a week. OSHA will issue an emergency temporary standard to introduce the vaccine requirement, and companies that fail to comply could face fines of $14,000 per violation. So this is beyond. Earlier this week, we talked about the executive branch vaccine mandates. They are working on a sort of mostly vaccine mandate for a lot of workers. Something like 100 million Americans work for companies that would be affected by this rule. So here's what we're gonna do. We're gonna talk about this. Later on, we're gonna be talking about the response of the right after our first break. But I do wanna also throw out, Brett, that this is being talked about by both the people that like it and the people that hate it as a vaccine mandate, but it does allow you to just keep getting tested instead. Like, it literally does not require you to get the vaccine. And I feel like that is not even 1% of the conversation.
So federal workers are mandated to get the vaccine, and there is no option for testing. But in terms of being
the broader
implication, I think parts of it are just dumb. Like, what do you mean by 100 employees? What if all 100 employees work remotely? Like, you need me, I haven't left my house. As John calls me a recluse when he thinks I'm not watching on Wednesdays. But the truth is, I haven't left my house in professional recluse. So I haven't left my house in months, really, to do anything except go to the supermarket. And I don't interact with anyone who works here except for my wife, person to person. And we are taking a lot of precautions. And so I think if there's a caveat that if you have a workplace of 100 people who are in close contact, that might come out later. That makes sense that you need to do that kind of thing. And those kinds of thresholds in terms of size of business do take into account things that I think do find common ground with a lot of people, regardless of what side of the aisle you're on, in that I'm upset at large corporations who take advantage of these loopholes when they don't really care about their employees. And small companies are going to face a disproportionate burden in terms of cost of their people going out and getting tested. But we are facing a global pandemic that has killed hundreds of and millions of people. And some people, I wish I could talk to them in terms of them taking it seriously, but they're taking it very seriously when it comes to politics, not when it comes to death toll.
Yeah.
And that's very frustrating.
That's consistent, at least. It hasn't really seemed to matter to these people from the beginning. And look, we'll be diving into how people are talking about this in a little bit. But I want to give you a little bit more details. President Biden, referring to what we were just talking about, says the bottom line, we're going to protect vaccinated workers from unvaccinated coworkers. We're 1500 deaths per day. Again, how many waves of 1500 plus deaths per day do we need to go through? He also announced vaccination requirements for healthcare providers that accept Medicare and Medicaid, for all federal employees and contractors, and for the staffs of Head Start programs, Department of Defense schools, and Bureau of Indian Education operated schools. They'd previously talked about military mandatory vaccination. So it is starting to go broader. One part that NYC Southpaw on Twitter acknowledged that again is weirdly not much of a part of this conversation is this component of it. To continue efforts to ensure that no worker loses a dollar of pay because they get vaccinated, OSHA is developing a rule that will require employers with more than 100 employees to provide paid time off for the time it takes for workers to get vaccinated or to recover if they're under the weather post-vaccination. It's weird that the official thing has the expression under the weather. But anyway, that we know, look, first of all, it makes sense. A lot of people getting vaccinated and possibly suffering at least mild consequences for a day or two might need some paid time off. So I'm glad that they're actually thinking about that. But we also know that when you poll people for a variety of different reasons that they might be hesitant to get the vaccine, a fear of losing money, like pay, is one of the more common parts of that. So I'm glad that that's a component of it here as well.
Yeah. And as Fat Guy Named Tiny points out, yeah, it's still not a mandate. You can choose vaccine or weekly testing.
Yeah.
You can do
so
that.
It's kind of a mandate. It's a soft mandate. Or,
well, it's, you know, not a, it's not a mandate. Like, what is the, what is your situation? Like, what is your argument that you don't want to inject yourself with, as people have put it, and I'll show you later in the show, the magic potion?
No.
Okay. If you're not injecting yourself with the magic potion, then I got to make sure you don't have the thing that can get someone sick that we're all concerned about, because of course we are. Mm-hmm. There's so many people who are like, this is a fake pandemic, but it is killing 1,500 people in America a day. So, like, I have to disagree with you. I've talked to people who are talking to their like unions about what the hell to do inside the union when it comes to like vaccine and pandemic deniers, people who won't take the vaccine. What do they do? Because the union's got to pay for your legal defense if you decide not to take the vaccine. So the unions are trying to figure out exactly how to handle this. And they're probably going to come down on, well, we're going to make you pay a higher premium for your healthcare if you expose yourself to these illnesses in a way that is more risky and more potentially financially burdensome than other things. And it just gets, from one disastrous American phenomenon into another, into this weird healthcare system that they're going to complain about, but like you're championing it, so you're going to have to pay the consequences of it. And I don't see any other practical result for it, given the constitutional guarantees that we're all provided with, that people are, you know, accusing others of taking advantage of government policies in terms of welfare, but they're taking stupid fake loopholes to pretend that they have rights against vaccines.
Exactly. So that, and again, like we have to continually lay out what the stakes are so that they have to like get a demonstrated safe, free thing that could save their life and other people's.
Yeah.
But you're right. The fact that they can just get tested instead, when you hear the way, and we'll get to it a little bit later, the way they talk about this, when you bear in mind that they can just get tested anyway, the reaction is even more insane than it seems at first glance. But by the way, in terms of that testing, Biden announced that he would be using the Defense Production Act to increase the production of rapid testing kits, and we work with retailers, including Amazon and Walmart, to expand their availability. And he said the Transportation Security Administration would now double fines on passengers who refuse to wear masks. So they're even trying to make it easier to get the tests necessary for you to comply with the non-mandate, if that's what you want.
And isn't that what you should know if you're sick, so you can go take your horse pills? You know?
Exactly. Like, how do you know when to begin rubbing the ivermectin into your armpit? Like,
right,
the test will help you.
And yeah, and this way you'll know that you're sick, and you'll you know. And again, I just hate when everybody says like ivermectin, people are mad at me because I'm taking horse tranquilizers and it's for people like, or horse dewormers, it's for people. I'm mad at the people who are going and taking the literal horse doses, morons.
Well, I'm mad at the people that are making the conversation around COVID about that rather than just encouraging people to get vaccinated. That's
right. And they still get to complain. Like, you guys still get to complain. So I don't know what you're mad about. And please just raise your right hand and make a signal to me if you're just being crappy. And I can live with that. But you're going to go get the vaccine or take a test. and you're gonna protect your fellow Americans, just like George Washington wanted everybody to do when he did a vaccine mandate.
Exactly. Oh no, we're gonna get to some of the people that used to be in favor of vaccine mandates that are not. I also wanted to quickly let you know though, locally here for LA, the Los Angeles Unified School District announced yesterday that it would require all eligible students to be fully vaccinated against COVID-19 by early next year. Under the policy, students 12 years and older will need to be fully vaccinated against the disease by January 10th. And so, that's beginning to spread as well. I should also give you a little bit of good news at least. So I've been watching the COVID numbers, and for the first time that I've seen, the 14-day change in the daily cases is actually down 5%. It's still a crazy high number, but it has started to go down. The hospitalization rate is slowly climbing, and the deaths are still climbing. It is going to be lagged, but not as much as they were a week or so ago. But again, bear in mind, we have soared past 650,000 COVID deaths in the United States alone. So we might be starting to turn a corner on this particular wave, but there's still going to be a lot of people in hospital the next month. A lot of deaths are now sort of baked into the situation we find ourselves in. So bear that in mind as well. Okay, with that, we're going to take our first break. But when we come back, we're going to cover the reaction to Biden's announcement from a number of different right wingers, many of whom will reveal to you were once very cool with vaccine mandates, but now have a massive problem with it. All that and more after this. Okay, everybody. So let's jump into this next bit. In the wake of President Joe Biden announcing sort of a vaccine mandate for about 100 million Americans, again, bearing in mind that you don't have to get the vaccine, you can get tested every week. How has the response gone? Has it been rational? Well, let's start with the AP, who put up a headline analysis, Biden's war on virus becomes war on unvaccinated. Nope. That's, don't do that, Zeke Miller. What are you talking about? It's not a war. Do we have to use that for literally everything the government does? He wants people to get vaccinated. That's not the same as invading territory and killing enemy combatants. But anyway, Axios declared America's civil war of 2021. And look, it is possible. I don't know Zeke Miller and I don't know Mike Allen. Maybe they mean, well, I don't like that it's a civil war, and I just mean that the right's freaking out about it, but you are still playing into this is the major dividing line. People should line up on both sides. That's what they do in a civil war. And so we're gonna get into the specific right wingers, but the fact that the relative mainstream media, the AP and Axios, are pitching it immediately as going to war on unvaccinated people, and it is a civil war, that feels unnecessary to me. I don't know. Am I overreacting?
I will tell you exactly how this happened. Ready? I need a verbal confirmation that you're right.
I am.
Otherwise, I have to look down and see if you're nodding on my monitor.
I'm ready.
This happened. If you look, and we've experienced this too. So we title things with civil war in the title if and only if we're quoting someone who has called for a civil war. Okay? Mm-hmm. People are saying like, no, if they don't change, this is going to be a civil war. Okay, those titles with civil war in them, I've noticed, and this is just observationally, do really, really well because of everything we've heard about algorithms and how they end up making people. But we have to do that because that's the central quote. This person is calling for a civil war. Okay, that's what happened. I will say, give you a caveat, Zeke Miller probably didn't write that headline. The other person probably didn't write their own headline, but someone over there who's managing. That site is like civil war does well, but they've abandoned the governing principle that confines civil war and headlines to that because civil war headlines do well. And so they've added, this is the civil war of today. Now, I would say a closer analog to the civil war would be when MAGA zealots stormed the Capitol building to stop the certification of an already certified election for the most part. That invasion, taking over property, those are the inciting incidents in most, like storming the Bastille, defenestrating fools. Like these are the kinds of events that start wars.
Yeah.
But like saying, hey, you know how we mandate vaccines for everything from hepatitis to measles, mumps, and rubella, tetanus, and even the HPV vaccine? Like, we're doing it for the thing that's killing 1,500 Americans a day. That is not a civil war. That is a defense of people who are being put at risk due to purely politicized, reckless behavior, politically motivated, reckless behavior of people who are detached from reality.
Yeah. And you know, I think you're right. And again, you're totally right. The individual writers don't necessarily choose the headlines. That is true. But someone did. The algorithm didn't. Well, indirectly, I kind of did. But a human pressed the button on it. But that is how they're going to talk about it. And I have a feeling they're not going to be the only ones. And the issue is that when it's presented in this way, we know exactly how people are going to respond. It doesn't even have to be something serious. Like you take like a novel with a love triangle, and once you pitch it as some sort of conflict, people have to line up for one or the other. That's just how humans work. And unfortunately, fandom isn't the stakes here. Potentially hundreds of thousands of lives are the stakes. The right wing has not been happy about the sort of vaccine mandate announcement by Joe Biden. Bearing in mind, again, you don't have to get the vaccine. You can just get tested. Can't say that enough. So let's give you some examples. Ben Shapiro tweeted, somebody should tell Biden that the Taliban are unvaccinated. Maybe then he'll get angry at them. I can't, because he doesn't. He's really nice to the Taliban. He should get mad at them. And then do what? Shapiro would, of course, pretend that he's in favor of withdrawing. So to what end? What do you want to get mad at them for?
Ben Shapiro, I hate to break it to you. You're a massive outlier in terms of everyone. So Donald Trump negotiated the surrender to the Taliban. And most people wanted us out of there anyway. And just because you follow through on what is a smart decision to stop chucking treasure. And let's talk to all the people who follow you because you're a fiscal conservative, like chucking American taxpayer dollars into a bottomless pit of war. I don't think your own fiscally conservative fans would be a fan of. And honestly, I don't know how anyone's a fan of you.
Yeah, his financial backers are fine with it because it doesn't go directly into a big hole. It goes into defense contractors and then into a big hole. But that doesn't mean that his actual viewers would be okay with it. And also, by the way, it's the vaccine, it's the Taliban. The two things that exist. Let's make a tweet about both. You don't have to do that. You can actually think before commenting on what's actually going on. But anyway, he said in an appearance on Fox and Friends this morning that the Daily Wire will not be complying with the new rule. We're going to use every method and resource at our disposal to defy the president's unconstitutional order. Well, the resources at your disposal that you'll be using apparently is $14,000 per case where you don't abide by it. So we actually know exactly how many resources. But anyway, he went on to say, I'm vaccinated. I'm pro nearly everybody getting vaccinated. And this is tyrannical, authoritarian, anti-science BS. So again, like, I totally want people to be vaccinated, but I use the platform I have to encourage them to be terrified of the vaccine. Now, I can only do the impression a little bit. I just get sick of it. But anyway, that's what he's saying now. But what I find potentially more interesting is what many of these people were saying before it was a civil war that we have to line up on, before they learned over the last year what the right wing is willing to tolerate when it comes to this particular pandemic. Ben Shapiro wrote in Town Hall back in 2015, the point of mandatory vaccinations is not merely to protect those who are vaccinated. When it comes to measles, mumps, and rubella, for example, children cannot be vaccinated until 1 year of age. The only way to prevent them from getting diseases is to ensure that those who surround them do not get those diseases. The same is true for children with diseases like leukemia, as well as pregnant women. Herd immunity is designed to protect third parties. But Americans have short memories and enormous confidence in junk science. That turned out to be prophetic. Look up the horse drugs. But anyway, now there's a little bit of nuance here. He goes on to say that doesn't mean that all vaccinations should be compulsory, of course. There are certain diseases that can only be transmitted by behavior, like HPV. He doesn't care if he thinks that you're sinning, he doesn't care if he gets sick. There are others that are too varied for effective herd vaccination, like the flu shot. But when it comes to measles and mumps and rubella and polio, your right to be free of vaccination and your right to be a dope with the health of your child because you believe Jenny McCarthy's idiocy ends where my child's right to live begins. So look, I have no doubt that he's gonna hide behind the flu thing. The issue is that the vaccine so far has been shown to be very effective against all the variants, so that doesn't apply. So in 2015, when anti-vax sentiment was something of the Jenny McCarthy's and the people in Santa Monica or whatever, he thought it was you being a dope, and it's not okay because his kid's life is at risk. So mandatory vaccination is fine. But now the political tides have turned a little bit, and the thing that he was advocating for in 2015 isn't popular anymore. And so sure, I guess in theory he cares about the health of his kids and other kids, but he cares about maintaining an audience that isn't gonna turn on him for supporting the thing that 6 years ago he supported.
I wish there was something I could add to that, but that's absolutely.
I haven't really seen that going around, by the way, but anyway.
But that's the truth. That's the truth. The only thing that's changed is who's on what side, right? And this is a deadly disease. So your argument for behavior chucked out the window. Especially because the risky behavior is not only perpetrated by the people who are against vaccines, but that Venn diagram is mostly overlapping with people who are anti-mask. Yeah. Especially in schools.
They're anti-
so his own argument is against him. They're anti every they're not anti everything. They're anti certain things. They're pro ridiculous things. And I'm not mad, like it's possible that there will be some study that yields proof that ivermectin is great against viruses. My point is it's not a proof for that. I still have to have faith in some institutions. And the problem with and I'm fine with them being skeptical of institutions, but I have to have faith in the FDA in this situation because their counter argument is so patently dumb. It's that in some cases, pharmaceutical companies want you to take some diseases. And in other cases, you should take the pharmaceutical product that isn't approved by the FDA. Like, well, your argument needs to hold together and it does it. So I'm sorry, if it was a good argument, there's plenty of times when I've said, Ben Shapiro made a good point in this situation. Unfortunately, that is not the case right now. He's making stupid points exposed to be wildly partisan and not based on logic, no matter how much his cadence of implied logic may be consistent throughout.
Yeah, it's based on keeping the audience happy. That's all it is. Because whatever study they do in ivermectin, it's not going to come back, it's great against COVID and it turns out you were right not to get vaccinated. That's not what it's going to say. And so it's a complete waste of time. Even if it ends up being helpful, you should still get vaccinated right now. But anyway, tyrannical, authoritarian, anti-science BS that I supported in 2015 and don't support now because it's not politically expedient to do so. But he's not the only one. The Federalist tweeted in 2015, if you choose not to vaccinate, private and public institutions should be able to discriminate on that basis. You think that's what they're saying today? I don't. Megyn Kelly's tweeted about how the vaccine's just this experimental thing and they're gonna force you to stick it in your kid, even though it's FDA approved. Just a few years ago, she was on Bill O'Reilly in support of mandatory vaccination, saying this is going to be a big political issue for politicians going forward because it's about Big Brother. But on the other hand, some things do require some involvement of Big Brother. And she said that people who have a problem with the mandatory vaccinations have been fed bad information, which is true and still is to this day. But anyway, they continue to freak out. Let's go to some examples of this that you might see going around. Here is the five responding to Joe Biden's announcement.
Man, he's a bitter man. He's humiliated by the Afghanistan situation. He's upset with the economic recovery where it should be, but it's not. So he's taking that anger out on the unvaxxed. He's targeting 80 million Americans who don't trust him, don't trust the media for good reason. Country's been lied to for three decades. Why would you trust a politician or the media telling you anything? And instead of uniting the country against this pandemic and against China, because that's where it came from, he's trying to divide the country against itself for political exploitation.
Basically, he said the unvaxxed are the new terrorists. That's what he did. Like, he showed more anger towards that 80 million, this amorphous 80 million that he actually won't specify what constitutes the 80 million, which is kind of interesting. But he showed more anger towards them than the orderly and kind Taliban.
And he is constantly ginning up anger in our society. It's all this Marxism thing that's following through everything that they're doing. And
I think the only gin is in her cup. What are you talking about, Marxism? What does that have to do with any of this? And this amorphous 80 million. He won't say what the
great.
Thank you. Well, actually, I like gin, so I didn't like her using that. Anyway, he won't define the 80 million. No, he's talking about the unvaccinated. That's what have you been following the conversation? That's what he's talking about, the 80 million. He's just mad about Afghanistan, so he's taking it out. So rather than uniting the country against the pandemic, so what would that look like to Jesse Waters? What could Biden do that he would be like, yes, that's uniting us against this thing that I have spent a year and a half telling people not to take seriously, not to comply with literally any of the advice. Again, not the advice of politicians and the media. We're not asking you to trust the media, Jesse Waters, member of the media. We're asking them to trust the doctors who made this and who say that it's safe. That's what we're asking for. That was like five different versions of stupid around a table.
I love how he started it off with like, yo, Joe Biden's just bitter and angry that like your boy, your role boy Trump is the bitterest, angriest, sorest loser that the world has seen in years. His whole identity is built around something that fascists do, that horrible, horrible people do, which is needlessly and disingenuously going after institutions because those institutions, when functioning properly and are things that protect people against the whims of fascist crazy people. And that's why Trump attacks. Now, when I question institution and when most people who are genuine thinkers attack certain institutions, it's when they're doing things that cause them to lose credibility. And you come with facts and reasons and arguments that you genuinely want to engage in to get to the bottom of something. But that's not what Fox does. When Jesse Waters says the media has been lying to them, he's been lying to them. He's been lying. Fox News is the one who's been lying to them at the behest of the people who stand to gain financially and politically from having a strong voice to do exactly what he's doing on his show, which is to let you sit there after you read something that is outside of Fox News's distribution mechanism, something that radicalized you, that turned you into a conspiracy theorist. And after they spent years trying to fight you from falling into that trap, something that Chris Wallace continues to do, people like Jesse Waters, Jeanine Pirro, Greg Gutfeld, people who are just chasing the camera and the eyeballs and the attention, they're sitting there. And what did it feel like when you were watching them say that? It felt like they were saying, it's okay. You can do whatever you want, think whatever you want, feel whatever you want. And I'll be here in a shiny floor studio to tell you that you're doing it right. And that is exactly like when you used to go to the mall and a kid would throw a freaking tantrum and the parents are like, we just need to get him more sugar because he needs more sugar because he wants more sugar. That's what Fox News has turned into. Yeah. And it's sad. And you watch it every single day now because the tail's wagging the out of that dog.
Yeah. Yeah. And look, if again, like it's in some ways they influence, they put stuff out there to the audience and the audience absorbs it. But as we keep seeing, the audience then responds and they freaked out, not about COVID, but about any efforts to stop COVID from killing them. But if they hadn't, like, do we really think that if Trump had been in favor of vaccines and the mandate and masks and they had really worked hard on it, that Gutfeld would be like, no, I'm going down. This is the hill I will die on. Trump is wrong. Tucker's wrong. They're all wrong. I'm still anti-vaccine. Does anybody think that? No, they would line up with whatever they were pro-vaccine mandate before. It's just politically expedient. That's all it is. And in a nonsensical fashion, Jesse Waters says that one of the things that Biden is he's so bitter about is that the economic recovery isn't going fast enough.
Yeah.
We're still in the midst of a pandemic. Like, what is there anything that Biden could do that has a more predictable impact on the economic recovery than trying to get as many people as vaccinated as possible so people will start going to movies and theaters and gyms and all that again. But no, they pretend those things are disconnected, even though they've spent the last year saying we need to reopen these things and not lock them down. But there is a voluntary element to that. So long as people are getting sick and dying, whether they're open or not, everyone is not going to be using them at the same levels they were before the pandemic. And again, it's trying to communicate with people that fundamentally don't care about any of this. Now, really fast, I want to show you a video from Josh Mandel running in Ohio. He apparently was so appalled by the not really a mandate, vaccine mandate announcement that he had to get out of his car and record this.
Hey guys, it's Thursday night, September 9th. I'm driving through Western Ohio. We're driving through a cornfield near a town called Loganville, Ohio. My blood is boiling, enraged at what I've seen from the White House today. Trampling on our freedom, trampling on our liberty, trampling on what I took an oath to defend when I joined the Marine Corps. Joe Biden, I'm not even gonna call him President Biden, he's not. Joe Biden is creating a constitutional crisis. And as I was driving through this cornfield, I literally came across this sign, this Trump sign. He is my president. And I am hoping and praying that the Supreme Court justices that he appointed to the US Supreme Court will do the right thing and stand up for the Constitution, stand up for our freedom, stand up for our liberty. And if they don't, I call on my fellow Americans, do not comply. Do not comply with the tyranny. And when the Gestapo show up at your front door, you know what to do.
Okay, so first of all, as I typed in chat, I really wish one of those Quiet Place monsters would jump out of the corner right then. Okay. We're gonna get to the substantive part at the end. But he started off like he knows he's a candidate and he's a right winger and this is supposedly tyranny. So he needs to be aggrieved by it. My blood is boiling. I am so angry right now. I can't tell you how mad I am. Hot, warm blood is pouring through my veins. Don't pretend to have emotions that you're not having. You either don't care or you are actually mad, but you're equally terrified of the camera, maybe. Maybe he's just really uncomfortable.
Well,
he's definitely not blood boiling. It's tyranny. The boot of the dictator's on my neck. Like he can't even pretend to be the right wing blowhard or firebrand that clearly his aides told him, you gotta upload something to Twitter, Josh. You gotta get out of the car in this corn, Josh. But he can't even work up a good anger.
Yeah, maybe the reason he's scared is because he's about 18 inches from the highway. Jesus.
And 18 inches from dark, scary corn.
I am angry. Hold for sound. That this person, hold for sound. There's an airplane. I can't wait for him to think things that all the images that came to life is like, I wanted that to be the I, Josh, whatever, approve this message. And then they do the wide shot overhead, and he's just putting crop circles down. And that whooshing sound and blinking lights was actually just a UFO that he works with. And I don't know if he looks more like an alien pretending to be a human or just a penis with blade hands. He's just standing there like, oh.
Why are they all so bad, Brett?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it would be really hard to be the stereotypical insane alpha they all want to be, but they're just, it's all Ben Shapiro's and Tucker Carlson's and Ted Cruz's. These are not those guys.
I think he's a Marine too. It's like, hey.
I know. Well, bang, so shouldn't he be like a cold-blooded killer? Like it doesn't come off. But anyway, more importantly though, substantively, when the Gestapo comes to your door, you know what to do. I'm not gonna say, I'd rather wink, wink, because I don't want to get sued, but you know what to do. And he liked that message so much that when he tweeted this out, Brett, he tweeted it with, do not comply with the tyranny. When the Gestapo show up at your front door, you know what to do. Like he repeated it in the tweet. And that was the line he was told to say. The rest of it was him trying to vamp and failing. And then he sort of like worked himself up a bit when he got to that line. But so what, Brett, are they supposed to do when they come to the door? What are you supposed to do?
Hi, it's us, the Gestapo. good morning. We're here to do whatever we're doing. I don't think you understand how it works. And what he's saying, you know what to do. I would just like go on.
What does he imply?
He wants you to shoot them.
He wants you to shoot.
He wants you to shoot government agents who are going to show up and roust you from your home. But that's not the nature of this mandate. This mandate is in, you know, is follows similar previous mandates. I just don't understand why, you know, there are no one's made the argument, which I shouldn't give them, which is like you don't have a mandate to get the flu vaccine, right? Like that is a vaccine, that's a leaky vaccine that you could still get it. It's supposed to reduce your symptoms, and this is similar to that, reducing your symptoms. But the one thing that that doesn't have that the COVID argument has is that the COVID is killing way more people and has killed way more people. And if that doesn't factor into your calculus of constitutionality, risk, everything, the kinds of things that the trenches in which these arguments are fought, then I just can't listen to you. I just, yeah. You don't have a good argument. Instead, he knows he's running for Congress. He knows that he needs to be mad at this, like you pointed out, and he just doesn't know how to bring that to life on the screen.
Exactly. Well, unfortunately, we have to take our break. So when we come back, we're going to be talking about an upcoming a new reality show. Why would we be talking about that in the first hour? Why would we be doing that? Well, you're going to find out soon. But we're going to go respond to some of your comments during this break. Man, this hour is going by fast. Okay, so before we jump back into the news, I did want to let you know, as always, Indisputable will be coming up after the damage report. Don't worry, we still got 40 more minutes. But once that's done, you can go to twitch.tv/TYT or youtube.com/IndisputableTYT to watch Dr. Rashad Ritchie, as well as co-host Dan Evans, who's obviously a longtime friend of the show. Will Robinson will be on for debate. And yes, you can still watch the multi-stream of Indisputable on the Damage Report YouTube channel today, but then that's it, and then it goes. So go and subscribe to their YouTube channel to make sure that you get their notifications and can still watch the program. That said, Brett, you ready to dive back into it?
Oh, I can't wait. Oh my God, I can't wait.
That's not nice. But I'll do it anyway. Let's go. The announcement of an upcoming reality show was met with, I'd say, a chill response online. So this is going to be hosted by Usher, Priyanka Chopra Jonas, and Julian Huff, right? It's Julian Huff?
Yeah.
I don't know celebrities these days, but Julian Huff are set to co-host the Global Citizen Competition series from CBS, The Activist. So what is The Activist? Well, The Activist is a competition series that features six inspiring activists teamed with three high-profile public figures working together to bring meaningful change to one of three vitally important world causes: health, education, and environment. And so how will they do this? Activists go head to head in challenges to promote their causes, with their success measured via online engagement, social metric, and hosts' input. And we'll get to the final point of all of this, but already initially, now look, there's no trailer for it. The episodes haven't been released. We don't know exactly what's going to happen, but the premise, a lot of people had a problem with it, Brett. I know you're a big fan of reality shows, generally shows where people are required to be naked for them. That's not going to be the case here, so I just want you to relax. What do you think about The Activist based on what you've heard so far?
I was operating under the impression and assumption they would be naked. So I'll just be naked when I watch it.
And it's naked and afraid of climate change.
Yeah.
I think would be the show. Anyway.
This is an amazing like mix of course and like, ugh, you know? And So it's a cynicism test, is what I used to call it on Pop Trigger all the time. You are now faced with a cynicism test, and much of this is how you choose to or can't help but react to some news.
Okay.
At the end of the day, I would argue it is very likely that a cause that needs funding is going to get funding. So good.
Okay.
If I've got pros and cons on my whiteboard, pro. The con is just like, I know that the final solution in this situation is to get an actual activist who does like grassroots work on the ground, actually making a difference tangibly and innovatively. Like, would probably the best thing to come out of it would be they actually connect with this. I just want to feel good. And they canceled Extreme Makeover Home Edition audience that's watching this. Mm-hmm. Like, this is the result. And these shows, if it's what I assume it's going to be, since it's like, you know, activist judges, like there's three people that are helping you do this. Like, it's called a shiny floor show. That's what they call it in the business. We got a big shiny floor show where there's like lights and there's people turning around and there's judges and then there's the they're voice. In a big room doing the voice, a presentation, and there's people we're getting reaction shots in the audience going oh wow. Yeah. But like, I just the next step is to get actual activism and actual activists in front of this larger audience so that they know that A, it's not terrifying, and B, there's going to be a little more work to it than just like, did you get likes and retweet?
Yeah. So definitely the judging is going to be a part of it. And okay, I will try to engage seriously with your cynicism test. Yes, there will be money. Let me run through the rest of the details and we'll get to the money. The three teams have one ultimate goal: to create impactful movements that amplify their message, drive action, and advance them to the G20 summit in Rome, Italy. There, they will meet with world leaders in the hope of securing funding and awareness for their causes. The team that receives the largest commitment is celebrated as the overall winner at the finale, which will also feature musical performances by some of the world's most passionate artists.
That's where it's like, is there a barf bag nearby?
We are the world. That's what it feels like.
Diana. Yeah. Like if it was just that, means it would have been enough. Like it would have been enough if we just, hey, here's a 1 hour special where all these people got together and donated money to big causes. But like they gotta pay Usher. They gotta pay Priyanka Chopra. There's Jamila Jamil tweet that's like, what if we just, hear me out, what if we just took the budget for this show and gave it to the causes? And then those three categories, health, medicine, something like that. It doesn't have social justice. It doesn't have economic justice. Like it doesn't, it's approved by the sponsors. It's a corporation
that's making this. Like that's fundamentally the problem here. So what are they allowed to do in their drive to create a movement, and what are they not? Are they allowed to challenge the effect that corporations have in all these different areas? Are they allowed to call these foreign governments out on the promises they've made and habitually broken in these different areas? Are they allowed to call out individual politicians that are standing in the path to progress in these areas? I feel like they're not gonna be able to do any of that. So it's not just that this is commercializing for CBS activism, it's also constraining it. It's like taking it down this little thing that's gonna be able to say vague things about these topics, but probably not more. We could be wrong. I hope that we are, but I do wanna get to a few of the reactions. So Jamal Bowman had tweeted, I'm gonna activate the block button if I see any of y'all watching this mess. Which AOC responded, LMAO, I'm gonna submit one in your name. And Naomi Klein had a tweet that I really liked. She said, I'm confused. Is this an advanced Marxist critique to expose how competition for money and attention pits activists against each other and undermines deep change, or just the end of the world? And I could be wrong. We'll see. This does not seem, it doesn't seem great. I'm not saying it won't have any positive effect. Maybe some kid will watch it and think, I want to become an activist someday. Maybe that could happen. And maybe some money will go the right direction. But I feel like there's much better ways to do this that aren't tied to corporations like CBS.
Yeah, it's just like, it reeks of that photo op from the politician who shows up and doesn't care about the organization that they want to quote bring awareness to, but like hugs a, you know, goes up to the cow and is like, oh, this cow should be happier, gets a photo with that, and then like washes the hell out of their hands and gets out of there as fast as possible.
Yeah.
But then again, that's just me being cynical. I have to be honest about that and jaded by all this. So that's where I'm at with the activist.
We should do a poll. Can we get at least a Twitch poll up? I'm curious what people think about this. Is there any having it going on out there? But anyway, that is going to be the end of the first hour. Thank you everybody for watching if you're on one of our linear platforms. But if you're on YouTube or if you're on Twitch, we do have more stories to get to, including our Garbage People of the Week, which you're not gonna wanna miss. So we're gonna take a quick break. But after that, we'll be coming back with a lot more.
Thanks for listening to the full episode of The Damage Report. Support our work, listen ad-free, access members-only bonus content, and more by subscribing to Apple Podcasts at apple.co/TYT. I'm your host, John Arola. I'll see you soon.